Okay, today is the beginning of the new church year. And even though it is the new year, we get a repetition of what we've been hearing the past few weeks. Stay awake. I was actually talking to a friend from seminary, and it's like there are these points in the lectionary where we get to the point and you get week after week after week of repetition. In the summer, it's Jesus, I am the bread of life. You get weeks. You get about 5 weeks of bread. And right now, we're getting a lot of stay awake. And as we got closer to the new year, I'm thinking, oh, it's going to change. And then comes the new year, and it's stay awake. Because instead of the Gospel of Matthew telling us this, it's now the Gospel of Mark, who warns us, keep awake. And you may have noticed that today's lesson is not Mark 1. Rather, it comes from the 13th chapter of Mark. So today's echo is a construction of the lectionary text that we use. But this echo reinforces an important point. When we talk about the end, when we talk about Jesus coming again, we are also talking about a new beginning. So when we hear Mark's call to keep awake, it's not only a reminder to keep awake to see what the end looks like, but it's also a call to stay awake, looking for that new life that is coming, for those times when life is changing for the better. But a new beginning is a scary idea, especially if we read the text from Isaiah, describing God coming into the world at a time that should make nations tremble, mountains quake. The idea that God will tear open the heavens and step into the world. An idea that God's justice will be felt like fire. A grand entrance that sort of makes us a little afraid. An event that's going to be traumatic to watch, or seems like it's going to be traumatic. But also a moment that brings hope, because it comes with a hope of justice. A justice that shakes up the world. A justice that is a watershed moment for the world. Over the past months, we have seen the exposure and resignation of individuals who were once leaders in our communities. They were newscasters, actors, filmmakers. But we found out they were sexually harassing their fellow human beings. Individuals who used their power over others to abuse them, leaving us with stories that are shocking, but also frustrating. Yet, the fact that we're talking about this marks a change. Marks a change in our society that holds these leaders to accountability. A moment that I think was best summed up when I saw the Speaker of the House, Paul Ryan, said, "This is a watershed moment." And in a way, I think he's right. While those moments are painful and we really wish they didn't happen, that the harassment never happened, the recognition of these events marks hope that we can move forward. We can take those steps to reduce this in the future. And the first step in that process is bringing these incidents into light, because then we can address them and therefore hopefully repair. Justice gives us hope that things can actually be better in our world, that lives once damaged can be repaired. Both Mark and Isaiah remind us that the world is not abandoned in a life of injustice. They talk about God tearing open the heavens and coming into the world. A tear that gives hope for a redeemed world. A world not destroyed, but restored. A God who is like a potter who molds the world. A potter who constantly fills in our holes and reshapes us into the image of God and declares us as his own. A God who is graceful and just, and whose grace can actually be a form of justice, and whose justice can be a form of grace. A reality we see in Christ. Christ came down to earth and puts his hands on the sick, the marginalized, the outcast of society, while at the same time fights with the Pharisees and scribes. A God who fights for people. A God who calls out people when they engage in bad behavior. A God who is willing to flip over tables in the midst of a temple. A God whose ministry begins in the River Jordan, with the heavens being torn open, and God saying, "This is my son." And a ministry that ends with a new beginning for all of us. A new beginning that comes through Christ's death on the cross. A death that at first looks like the end, but in reality is just the beginning. So in the same way, we look out into our world. We push on, not because we are looking to hold on until the end, but because we are looking for that new beginning. We're people, we are people that do not seek the end of the world, but rather the redemption of the world. And I'm going to leave you with one story. The church I was at before I was in Bluffton, and we had the wonderful gift of having in our clergy gathering African-American minister. And about 6 months in, he told us that he was one of the children that went through integration. He was one of the first African-American students to go into Sumter, South Carolina, the heart of the South. And he talked about how hard he was for him, how there was a lot of this trauma that he kind of carried, and those that went in, those first couple kids that went in, really have struggled with that. But as he was talking about it, I realized something. I looked at my wedding photos, and you look at your friends that are there at the wedding, and some of my best friends are Latino. A couple of them are African-American. And I realized that that hard work that he did as a child gave me a true gift. Because if we stayed where we were, and we only stayed in that segregated brokenness, I wouldn't have those friends. But because the hard work was done, that gave a new beginning, not necessarily for him, but for the generations to come. And that is the really neat thing. Yeah, there's a lot that we can look out into this world and say to ourselves, this world looks like it's not going great. It's scary. I can't believe I just saw this. But the reverse of it is I hear the cries of people who are now listening to the cries of others. It's like that old game telephone. They're carrying on that message. We have a God who says, I make all humanity in the image of God, loves them, will call all of them to the table, will not leave us in our sinfulness, will call us out when we overstep, and bring hope to those that are disenfranchised. And it's kind of scary, but it's much rather be with God than stay where I am. And that is what I say amen.